Texas Forest Service of A&M College presents an incident in the history of the Texas Navy. The year was 1843, and the Republic of Texas had been going through a long period of war with the Mexican centralist government. Santa Anna's forces had repeatedly attacked Texas, and the attempt to blockade the ports of Texas to stop the flow of supplies. So the Texas Navy had been organized. It had two purposes. First, to keep the sea lanes open for supply ships to Texas, and secondly, to cause so much disturbance to Mexico that it would not have the opportunity to send soldiers and supplies to attack Texas. Texas had an ally in its fight against the Mexican centralist government. The state of Yucatan in the south was also trying to gain its permanent independence from the Mexican government. It was to the advantage of Texas to help the Yucatan government, thus dividing the power of the Mexican army. Yucatan had even paid a rental fee to Texas for the use of the Texas Navy in carrying the war to Mexican ports. But in the year 1843, the Texas Navy had been laid up in the ports of Galveston and New Orleans for 2 years. The Texas government had not appropriated enough money to repair the ships and pay the wages of the sailors. Commodore E.W. Moore of the Texas Navy was in his hotel room in New Orleans on the morning of February 24, 1843, when he received two callers.
You are Commodore Moore of the Texas Navy?
Commodore Moore or Captain Moore, whichever you please.
I am Colonel James Morgan, and this is Mr. William Bryan.
I'm glad to know you, gentlemen. What can I do for you?
We've just arrived from Houston. We've been named as naval commissioners by the 7th Texas Congress. We've been given powers by the Congress in a secret act to do whatever we see fit with the Navy.
Then I hope you see fit to give me some more money to get these ships in seagoing condition. I've been trying to get President Houston to send me enough money to get the ships repaired for nearly a year, and I'm still waiting.
What condition are the ships in now?
I'll tell you, Mr. Bryan, they couldn't be in much worse shape and still stay afloat. The officers and men have been paid only 3 times in the last 2 years. I don't know how you can expect me to keep a Navy going without any money.
What do you advise doing with the ships, Captain?
Go back down to Yucatan, Mr. Bryan, as I should have done 2 years ago. As long as Yucatan is fighting for freedom against Santa Anna and his centralist army, we're able to rent them our ships for $8,000 a month. General Pereza of the Yucatan Army just arrived in New Orleans yesterday, bringing me some money. I signed another treaty with him to use our ships.
How many ships could you put into the fight, Captain?
I've got the ship Austin, commanded by Lieutenant Gray, and the brig Wharton, by Commander Lothrop. By the way, just what is in this secret act that the Congress passed?
I'm sorry, but we can't tell you all the provisions. Bryan, I think you and I had better send a letter back to the Secretary of the Navy and ask his advice in this matter.
I think you're right, Morgan.
Well, I hope you gentlemen get more response out of the government than I have.
Well, Captain Moore, we've received instructions from the Secretary of the Navy.
Is it good news or bad, Colonel Morgan?
Bad, I'm afraid. We've received instructions that we are to suspend you from all command and order you to report an arrest back to the Navy Department. I might as well tell you, Captain, that President Houston has given us something else to hold over your head if we need it.
What is it?
It's a proclamation declaring that you and all of your men are pirates. It invites any nation to capture you and return you and your vessels to the port of Galveston for trial. Of course, we're not supposed to publish this paper unless we find it necessary to bring you to terms.
I might have expected something like this. If I obey this order and leave the vessels in the port of New Orleans, every officer under me will resign. The vessels will be left at the mercy of the sailors, who will be sure to mutiny and destroy the ships. They threatened to do that once before when I couldn't pay them their wages.
What do you think we should do, Bryan?
Captain Moore may be right about the ships. It seems to me we should try to get them back to Galveston. Now then the officers and men could be demobilized there, where we'd have a chance to keep an eye on the ships.
What do you say to Mr. Bryan's suggestion? Captain, would you promise to take the ships back to Galveston?
Well, it looks as though I'll have to give up my hopes of sailing to Yucatan. I certainly must tell you, though, I'm doing this against my better judgment. I believe that an attack on the Mexican Navy would hold off Santa Anna from attempting to come north with another army. All right, I'll take the ships to Galveston.
Good. I think I'll sail along with you. Save the government the cost of my transportation. You want to come along by ship too, Brian?
No, I'll go overland. I never was too much of a sailor. You go ahead and take the ship back.
When do you think we can get started?
I should say that we should be into the Gulf by April the 15th and standing toward Galveston.
Is that you, Captain Moore?
Yes. Yes, well, you come on up, Colonel Morgan.
Could hardly recognize you in this fog. Where are we?
We're still standing off Belize.
Is that another schooner I see over there?
Yes, she's the Rosario, 3.5 days out of Campeche. She just anchored there to await the lifting of the fog, and she brings bad tidings from Yucatan.
What's happening in Yucatan now?
The Yucatan Army and Santa Ana are about ready to declare peace with each other. Then, as soon as Santa Ana can get his forces together, he's going to invade Texas by way of Galveston. Santa Ana is trying to get the Yucatan Army to join him against Texas.
That's a bad situation. I'm really concerned about it.
It hasn't helped things any to have me sitting in port with the Texas fleet. You remember I told you that the Yucatan government sent me some money as a rental fee for our fleet, and that I signed a treaty with them to blockade the Mexican ports?
Yes, yes, I remember.
Well, they say now that I'm a traitor, because I haven't done anything to earn the money. In fact, the Yucatan government is accusing me of taking a bribe from Santa Ana. They say that's why I haven't been blockading the Mexican ports for the last 2 years.
You really think that the Mexican central government will attempt to invade us again, then?
Of course I do. Now, you can talk to the master of the schooner Rosario yourself if you want to.
If what you say is true, we're in for a fight. If they would invade Galveston, at the same time start another offensive against San Antonio, we'd be in a worse position than we were at San Jacinto. What do you think we should do?
As far as I personally am concerned, I'm in arrest and on my way to Galveston.
Oh, come now, Captain. Let's forget that for a moment. Could we do anything to stop such an attack?
If you want my advice, I'll give it to you. I don't know what your powers are under this secret act that the 7th Congress passed, but if it gives you the wide powers that I suspect it does, this is what you can do. Give me permission to sail to Telchak with the Austin and Wharton to engage and destroy the Mexican ship Moctezuma. It's there with some smaller vessels to take the Mexican army to Yucatan. Then we can hurry to Campeche and attack the main Mexican squadron there. I believe that if I start this attack, the smaller Yucatan ships that are in the harbor there will help us.
What effect will that have?
If we can prevent the Mexican army from bringing any more men or supplies to Yucatan, I believe the Yucatan army can capture the Mexican army in Yucatan. They should be able to keep the Mexican army out after that. As long as they can do that, they aren't going to make peace with the Mexican central government.
Splendid. And as long as Yucatan is still fighting them, Mexico won't be able to attack Texas.
That's the way I see it.
I think the situation is sufficiently grave for me to use my full power as naval commissioner. I say, let's go to Yucatan.
Before I do that, I'm going to take steps to clear my own name. I assume that President Houston, as soon as he hears about this, will denounce me as a pirate. I'm going to send a letter to the Texas Times by way of the schooner Rosario, saying that I'm going down to attack the Mexican squadron. And I'm going to say that I'm going down there with your full consent, as you believe it's the best thing that can be done for the country.
Go ahead. You have my permission. I've made up my mind to save the Republic of Texas if I can. And I hope we get a chance to strike a blow at the Mexican Navy.
It appears that we'll be able to engage the enemy in a few minutes, Lieutenant Gray.
Yes, sir. It's unfortunate that we lost the Yucatan ships astern. They couldn't keep up with us when we put on extra sail to catch the Mexicans.
Well, at least they're with us in spirit. We have the Wharton with us anyway. We were lucky in getting the Yucatan army to start fighting the Mexican central government again.
I imagine that was Colonel Morgan's work, wasn't it, Captain?
Yes, it was. They were mighty pleased to see us. When the Mexican ship fired on us the other day, it gave them an excuse to stop any peace conferences. Yeah, Morgan will be able to see the battle today from the waterfront.
The men are ready at their battle stations. I can begin firing immediately at your command.
Have you identified the Mexican war schooner for certain?
I'm quite sure it's the Ahuila. The steam frigates are the Moctezuma and Guadalupe.
And we're fortunate they have only 3 ships today as against our 2. We'll give them a run for their money today, even if we are outgunned. Have the signalman stand by for relaying orders to the Wharton.
Aye, aye, sir.
Signalman, ready at your station.
Aye, aye, sir.
Starboard battery, ready.
Starboard battery, ready.
Starboard battery, fire.
Starboard battery, fire.
Lieutenant Lieutenant Gray, how many times have we been struck?
We've received 17 shots in the hull and rigging. Most of them are from the Guadalupe's Long 68.
Keep on firing.
Captain, the enemy's steam frigates are grouping closer together.
That's what I've been waiting for. Lay a course right between the two of them. When we get between them, fire both the larboard and the starboard batteries at them. We'll only have a few seconds of firing, but we'll make the most of it.
Captain Moore, the rigging is in dangerous condition. With the wind freshening, I'm afraid to risk staying on this course.
If we wear ship to relieve the strain on our rigging, the Mexican ships will get away from us.
That's true, but if we keep on our present course, we'll lose our sails and possibly a mast.
There's nothing else to do then. Give orders to wear ship and present our larboard batteries.
Aye, aye, sir. Captain, I believe the Mexican ships are drawing away. Looks as if they had all they want.
Well, we'll have to let them go. We can't chase them with our rigging gone. I can't understand why they don't just stay out of range and peck away at us with their 68-pounder. It has twice the range of our 24-pounder.
I guess they've just decided they don't want to fight anymore. We got them bluffed out.
Yes, I think we'll be able to come and go as we please now. Signal Commander Lothrop of the Wharton that he's not to chase them. We'll go on back to Campeche and see how Colonel Morgan liked the fight.
Colonel Morgan brought word that President Houston had denounced them all as pirates. But he had good news, too. Santa Anna was withdrawing all his forces from Yucatan. The naval attack had been a success. Commodore Moore and the Texas Navy returned to Texas. He requested a trial by court-martial to prove his innocence of the piracy charge. But he was so popular with the Texans living along the coast that the Texas government was not anxious to press charges. Finally, the trial was held. Moore was acquitted of all charges except that of disobedience to orders. The Texas Navy was never used against the Mexican government again. The ships were either sold or broken up. Eventually, an appropriation of $20,000 was made by Texas to reimburse Commodore Moore for back pay and for the money he had personally advanced to operate the fleet. And so ends the story of the Texas Navy. In those early days, ships were built largely of stout wooden planks and timbers. Wood was used in nearly every part of a ship. Today, wood remains an important material in shipping, with thousands of feet of lumber being used in the construction of steel ships. More than 300,000 feet of lumber go into the ways for the building of a large cargo ship. Many small boats are built largely of wood. According to Director W. E. White of the Texas Forest Service, millions of feet of Texas timber are used in piling for harbors, in construction of wharves, shipping offices, and warehouses. Many Texas-manufactured products are shipped all over the world in boxes, baskets, barrels, kegs, crates, cardboard boxes, and paper cartons made of Texas timber. Thus, Texas forests work hand-in-hand with another Texas industry to benefit the people of the state. A constant supply of timber can build a greater Texas. This transcription was presented by the Texas Forest Service of A&M College in cooperation with the radio station to which you are listening. Your announcer is Fritz Kuhler. Music was by Dwight Brown. The production was written and directed by R. Burl Johnson.